On the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Certainly, there's a lot going on this week, but if you live in Las Vegas, there's really only one thing happening today, October 2nd. In fact, I think Vegas Golden Knights' home opener at the Fortress T-Mobile Arena, it should be a holiday every year, all across Clark County. Maybe we can exchange Nevada Day for VGK Day next year. Just swap them out. We don't need that Halloween holiday. It's all about hockey right now. And with me to talk about this new season is Justin Emerson, who covers the Knights for the Las Vegas Sun, of course. Thanks for being here, Justin.
Yeah, of course. I love your holiday idea, too. That's strong. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know who we need to talk to push that through, but I'll get on it.
Opening day should be a holiday. Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm certainly not planning to do anything.
I'll be busy working.
Yeah. So the Knights are opening against the team that ended their season last year. They hated San Jose Sharks.
Yep. It's nice when the storylines kind of write themselves for us.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Of course, Knights and Sharks just played a very physical preseason closer at T-Mobile. As if the energy level could be any higher for a home opener, there's going to be that revenge element as well. What are you expecting to see in this first game?
I think we're going to see a pretty clean hockey game, actually.
Really?
I think that they might have gotten it all out of the way a little bit in preseason. The last game of the preseason, like, it doesn't really matter, but everybody on the ice is, you know, geared up and ready for opening day. And I think on Wednesday we might see, you know, maybe a couple of extra pushes and shoves, but nothing like the 114 penalty minutes that we saw on Sunday, fights, ejections, that kind of thing. But
that was unreal.
I say that, but I also would have said that that probably wouldn't have happened in the playoffs either, and it did. So really, who knows?
Who knows? Now, the fans that I talk to here in Vegas have, most all of them have huge expectations going into this year. You think there's a lot of pressure on the Knights to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals as they did in their first year?
I think there may be a little bit of pressure. There is a lot of expectation, not just in Las Vegas, but throughout kind of the hockey world, that this is going to be one of the better teams. And I buy into that. I think that this is one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I was just doing the Vegas Golden podcast here at the Sun with Case Kiefer. I apologize for the shameless plug.
You're allowed.
We're
podcast brothers over here.
Where we did our predictions piece, and I projected the Golden Knights to win the West. I think they will go back to the Stanley Cup Final. I think this is the best team in the Western Conference, and all the expectations around the team that another first-round exit would be a major disappointment, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, who do you see, if you did listen to the Vegas Golden podcast, and you should be listening to it.
Oh, yeah, everybody should.
You guys did that player per day thing. I listened to all that, so I feel like I know a lot more.
There you go.
About
yeah,
this
that's,
roster.
That's our job, keep everybody informed.
Who do you see emerging as a real leader on the Knights team this year? They're still not officially a captain. There's not going to be a captain anytime soon, but there are leaders on the ice, leaders in the locker room. Who do you think is going to kind of emerge in that role this season?
I think the obvious answer is Mark Stone. He was an alternate captain in Ottawa, and then he got traded, and he was kind of still getting his feet wet a little bit when he got to Vegas. He only played, I think it was 18 regular season games before the playoffs started, so he's only played still about two dozen games as a Golden Knight. Kind of hard to believe, but I think that a full offseason here and a full season in Vegas, he'll kind of emerge as the leader. Moving past him, though, I think Max Pacioretty is in kind of a similar situation. He was the captain of the Montreal Canadiens before he got traded here, and he was traded the day that training camp started, or right around there. He came in only at training camp, so the first part of it was the same thing. Still kind of him. You know, when you go to a new team, you kind of default to the established leaders of the room before you kind of emerge as one in your own. And I think that we're going to see strides from both Stone and Pacioretty. I think you'll hear it in interviews. You'll see it in TV appearances. And I think you'll see it on the ice, too. I think both of those guys are primed for a big year, both in the locker room and on the ice.
On the other side of that coin, who do you think is going to have or is in a good position to maybe have a breakout season, maybe a younger player kind of step up to the next level?
Sure. I think that that a big one there is defenseman Shea Theodore. I think that he is 24 years old, and he this year will be his first full season playing without any off-season other stuff. Like 2 years ago, he was sent down to the minor leagues to start the year. Last year, he was in a contract holdout for a lot of the preseason. And this year, he's able to just, once training camp started to get going, he of course had that, he had the Players Tribune essay where he revealed that he had an off-season battle with testicular cancer, but he is fully healthy, and he's talked about it, but he's also said, you know, I'd really like to just worry about hockey and focus on hockey, and he's able to do that, and I think that this is a guy who can run the power play, who can jump into the rush, who can get back and play defense. I think Theodore is going to have a big season for the Knights.
Now, getting off the ice a little bit, The attendance for the preseason games at T-Mobile were just ridiculous.
Yeah, insane. They set two different twice they broke their own records for preseason attendance in the building. There was over 18,000 people there on Sunday for a preseason game, a game that didn't matter against a team that they were going to see 3 days later in the regular season. It still continues to amaze me.
The funny thing to me is that it's not really that much of a surprise to anybody in Las Vegas, because we know what a phenomenon this team has become. But do you think that elsewhere around the league and maybe hockey fans around the country are looking at Vegas and wondering just what the heck is going on here?
I think that's fair. I think people outside, without fully understanding, can at least appreciate kind of Vegas, why the team is so loved here, that it was the first major league team here, that it was an expansion team, so it was never anybody else's team. They weren't bringing in their old history. They're building their own history. And then, of course, how they reacted after the 1 October shooting and changing their entire pregame show to honor the victims and the first responders in that. And, of course, they were really good that first year, so it's really easy to get behind a team when they're winning, too. And the fact that they are an exciting team on the ice, one that has been able to connect with the community, the one that's winning, it's all the ingredients are there for a packed building every single night, and that's what we've had every time the Knights have showed up at that arena.
It's really incredible to me how big a part of the Strip hockey has become.
It seemed to happen immediately, too. Yeah. Like 2 years ago, they had, like as of right now, 2 years ago, they had not played a regular season game yet. And now we're talking about them as if they've been here forever, as part of a fixture on the Strip.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I cover entertainment, but I do dabble in some nights now and then, just because it's such a big thing, it's unavoidable. I can't not write about it and talk about it and kind of cover it.
It's not just the sports writers, it's the entertainment writers, the news writers, everybody kind of intersects with the Knights at some point if you're in the media here.
I've said it before, it's kind of the hottest show in Vegas.
It really is, and the ticket prices reflect that. Still not totally cheap to get into the building.
I'm still feeling the pain from my tickets for this home opener. So this is the start of a long hockey season, a lot of work for you. You're going to be doing this for a long time now. What part of this experience for you covering this team is the most enjoyable thing?
I really like traveling and covering the team on the road. That's kind of a cool thing, because there's so much media, so many home, you know, media outlets, TV stations, radio, newspapers, everybody here covers the team. When you're on the road, it's fewer, so you get a little bit better access. You get to talk more one-on-one with the players, and that's kind of a cool experience. It helps you build those relationships. It helps you build storylines that you can write about later, stuff that, you know, an anecdote that they tell you in October that you can stick in your pocket and then bust out in December. Mm-hmm. When it's more relevant. So it's a very fun team to cover. It's a very open locker room. Players have good personalities. There's not, you know, a lot of hockey teams, a lot of sports teams kind of have that one jerk on the team who you don't really want to talk to. The Golden Knights don't really have that. Everybody's available and willing to chat with you. So it's nice.
You can all keep up with Justin's coverage all season long at LasVegasSun.com, and again, by listening to the Vegas Golden Podcast. How often do you guys think you're going to be doing that once we get rolling here?
Once a week. Once a week is the plan. So we did, you can still catch up, still time, catch up on all of our player per day series. We did about 15 minutes on each player, did our season preview podcast that dropped on Monday evening, and we'll have one once a week, kind of going over the goings on of the team.
Definitely subscribe to that one too on Apple Podcasts, and you can also listen at lasvegassun.com/podcast. Thanks a lot, Justin.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Good luck this year.
Thank you.
The Palms confirmed on Tuesday that John Gray has resigned as vice president and general manager. As you may have read in the Sun, this statement reads, quote, "With the third and final phase of the Palms' $690 million redevelopment project having been completed in late September, John is likely to move on to the next chapter of his career. Having played a key role in our complete transformation of that property, John will be greatly missed at the Palms, end quote. That statement from Station Casinos. This comes exactly 1 week after another prominent casino executive resignation, that of Alex Cordova, who was executive vice president of Wynn Nightlife at Wynn and Encore. The shuffle continues. Speaking of nightlife, the next evolution of Vegas nightlife is coming to the Bellagio on New Year's Eve. I'm going to write a big old story about this for the Sun site on Monday, so check that out for a deep dive. But I'm talking about the Mayfair Supper Club. It's a restaurant featuring contemporary American cuisine and nightly live entertainment overlooking the lake and the fountains at Bellagio. It takes the place of the former Hyde nightclub, and it sounds like something very different from what we have on the Strip these days. I talked with some executives from MGM Resorts for my Monday story, and they absolutely stressed that this is a restaurant-first concept. The entertainment aspects are still being figured out and could go in a lot of different directions, but whatever entertainment is happening, it'll always be appropriate for whatever time of night it is. So it'll be a little more ambient during dining hours and probably get a little wilder as the night goes on, but not Vegas mega nightclub wild. It will never feel like that kind of club experience in Mayfair, according to the people who are creating it. I'm fascinated by this idea because I've been talking to different people in the entertainment industry in the last few months, really the last year, talking about doing live music in clubby type spaces and about creating or bringing back the tradition of the dinner show on the Strip. This venue might be breaking some new ground. And you're going to know everything about it before its New Year's Eve opening because you're going to read all of our stuff in The Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. So stay tuned. As I reported on Friday, Magic Mike Live will be closing at the Hard Rock Hotel on November 24th and opening at Sahara Las Vegas in the spring of 2020. This is a major score for the Sahara, which recently opened another resident show, Blanc de Blanc, in the theater space at the renovating resort on the north end of the Strip. Magic Mike will not be performed in that same theater. I speculated it could be placed in the nightclub that's under construction adjacent to the pool, while the RJ reported it will be in a new venue situated in the convention and meeting space portion of the resort. Wherever it goes will be a great situation for the Sahara. It's a really popular show. It's really funny, too. A whole different take on the male review. Not just a bunch of hot boys, but also it is that. Speaking of good shows, there are two new great ones we've mentioned on The Sun on the Strip, and I've reviewed both of them recently at LasVegasSun.com. Hit the site and read my takes on Blanc de Blanc and Atomic Saloon Show at the Venetian. I recommend you see both as soon as possible. My one big show this week is the last of three shows from the Eagles at MGM Grand on Saturday, October 5th. Everybody's raving about these epic three-hour concerts they've been turning out. So if you have the means, make your way to the Grand Garden Arena Saturday night. That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. While you're subscribing to the Vegas Golden Podcast on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and add Sun on the Strip to your regular listening roster and maybe toss in a rating and a review, and then I can keep on reporting on Vegas entertainment stuff right here every Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you next week.